is an encounter with God's word that guarantees a life of dominion. Join Pastor Stephen Enoko, lead pastor, Love Embassy Church, as he brings the message of the kingdom with all simplicity, authority, and power. God bless you as you listen.
Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in the sweet breath.
Glory to God. I want to appreciate God for all our pastors. Thank you so much. Can we be on our feet to celebrate all our pastors in church this morning? Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. You are celebrating your pastor. You will do that better. No one pray, I pray. And one wish I will have is that some of us will pastor a church for just 1 year. Somebody smile. If you have ever stayed with a pastor before, you will smile. I wish. You see, for me, I never consider pastoring as a big deal, sir, until I put my leg in the shoe. And if you are close to me, you will realize, since then, I don't talk about pastors anyhow. I respect them. Hello? If you don't taste some things, you will not value some things. I say, I should not be pastoring. It's all right. I pray that every one of you here, God will call you into pastoring. I know you will not say amen, because I don't need your amen. And so sometimes, when I see the way people treat pastors, problem. But if Jesus will return, I will never despise the ministry of a pastor. These men are laboring. Hello? Someone sent me a message yesterday and was literally lamenting. Pained. He said, "Pastor, sir, I've been stabbed." Wrote everything. Do you know the next thing I did? I sent an emoji. I smiled. You know the next statement? "Welcome to ministry." It is pastors. Pastor will be laboring for a member in the church. The member will be telling everybody in the compound that my pastor is a bad man. The same man that woke up all through the night to pray for your life. A pastor will pray for God to bless the member. Lord, send prosperity to them. And God will bless the member. And the member will tell the pastor will tell member that there is a need in church. That same member will say, "Pastors too like money." Do you understand? So we leave the kind of job they would have literally done. See, have you been close to a pastor before? Do you think they adore? Or you think they cannot do buying and selling? But some of them, because they want to have time to minister to you, they abandon a job that will take care of them well. And yet the same member will go back and say, "My pastor, now only one shirt they wear." I sat down last night. I was just thinking. I was like, and I saw that verse of scripture when Apostle Paul was talking about that we are dishonored. He said, "Before God we are glorious, but before men we are despised." I'll show you that before this month will end. He said, "We are spectacles. Now we they go feel laugh." Is there anybody in this world that they criticize the way they criticize pastors? Huh? As bad as your government is, the kind of stones that pastors collect daily. And if you check very well, the starting point of the stone is from somebody he labored over. Or you don't know that most pastors, their number one betrayers are those they labor over. Not be person when close to person, they know person. And not be person when no person, they keep person. But yet, Apostle Paul said, "The curse will see the terror of God." What do? We persuade men. He said, "To the Jew, I became a Jew. To the barbarians, I became a barbarian." He said, I became all things to all men. He said, I have learned to live without food and to live with food. It is pastors that you go to their house. They don't have food to eat. They give you the only rice. You are saying there is no meat. Pastor, they cook. You know, they see money. You know, they pull meat. But you don't know that that's the only rice. He doesn't even have the one he will give to his son to put inside lunch box to school. And if he attempts to call you that he doesn't have, you go and tell other church members that pastor is begging for money. Abba. He comes to church the next day and preach. Ah, support your pastor. He say, pastor, not get money to pay rent. That's why he's preaching support. But yet, because it is a call, they don't have choice. So they carry all the filth, they carry all the dung. See, even if you will not be a pastor, I pray you marry one. Sincerely. You know, pastors are the most misunderstood people. How many of you know that pastors are the most misunderstood people? He always comes around to greet you, to check your family. And when he comes, you give him refreshment. He comes around, he gives your family. One day, John, this is when pastor they come. Let's say now food, pastor always they come chop. And he says, okay, no problem. I'm not going to go to anybody's house. And then one just called pastor. Pastor, please, you must come. Now only those people ask if they go. Hi. God will help us. See, if you have a pastor that God has given to you, please, I beg of you, value him. Receive him, honor him. Do you know how many pastors have died of depression? You know why? They cannot talk. They cannot talk. They can't tell you what they are going through. Because the moment they tell you, gossip mood is activated. So they died there. And listen to this. Whether life or death, they have signed up for him. That's what Apostle Paul said. So why? The best thing you can do in this your life as a believer is to embrace the ministry of a pastor. Any pastor. Yes, I know they are quacks and they are fake. But we must be careful not to throw the baby and the bat away. I know you've been abused by some. Yes, I know some have taken advantage. I know some have stolen money from members. I know some have disappointed God. But listen to me. The reason why there are fake is because there are originals. And the devil understands how gracious God is to call such men. And all he wants to do is to put a veil in your heart. So that the next one that comes, you treat him the way you treated the last one. Because sheep in God's design, pivotal in God's plan, is the ministry of a pastor. Jeremiah 3 verse 15, he said, for I will give you pastors after my heart. He said they will feed you with knowledge. They will feed you with understanding. Once again, can you lift up your hands? I am grateful, Lord, for every pastor that you have called. Come on, lift up your hands and say, Father, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Let's be seated briefly. Ephesians chapter 4. Can we start reading from verse 8? Please bring out your pen, bring out your Bible, your paper, bring out your book. And let's take some notes. Ephesians 4. Start reading from verse 8. Everybody, can we raise our head? If you have your Bible, you don't, you can read from here. We're reading from the NLT. The Bible says, this is why the scripture say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So pastors are teachers. Glory to God. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church. Who is the church? The believer. Glory to God. The body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and acknowledge of God's Son, and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Father, we receive your word. We receive understanding. We receive knowledge. I'm asking that you will help us to understand in the name of Jesus. I receive utterance. Your word is anointed, likewise the ear and heart of your people. They receive your word with simplicity. Your word profits them. Darkness is taken away. Light sits. Father, we give you praise. Be exalted, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Understanding the gift of a pastor, part one. Understanding the gift of a pastor, part one. Now let me begin by saying, that the focus of this series is to help us to understand the desire and design of God for the local church and how the pastor fits into this design. Can I say that again? The reason we set out to have this discussion is to help us as believers, as spirituals, to understand, number one, the desire of God, and then the design of God for the local church, and how the pastor fits into this design. Glory to God. So as we set out, there are a few things I want to say. The first thing I want to say is that most of the things I'm going to be sharing along this series. There are things that even I myself am just beginning to settle into. Praise God. Praise God. There are things that I am beginning to settle into. So I want to encourage every one of us, those of us here in the church and those that will listen to this series, to not be to not think that they are critics. Should not see them as objecticism. Some of the things that I'm going to be saying, you to not see them as a way of discrediting what you may have known. Praise God. So because of that, I want you to know that the goal of this series is not to castigate or condemn what others have embraced, what others have said about the ministry or gift of a pastor. But there are two reasons why it is important that as your pastor, I teach you these things. Number one is, by the grace of God, God has made me a shepherd over you. And it's important you know these things. You understand it. You appreciate it. Praise God. Because I'm a shepherd to guide you. So I owe you that responsibility to teach you these things. Praise God. Praise God. So you must not begin to but it's not like this now. It's like that. This is how that pastor does it. This is how so pastor. No. That's not the goal. The goal is to help you as a shepherd, as a sheep in this sheepfold, to appreciate who a pastor is. And then number two, the goal is so that we all can reason alike. Glory to God. So that we all can what? Can reason alike. Now this is a local church. This is the pillar, the ground and the pillar of truth. So it is important that as a local church, we have the same understanding. Are you following me? We reason the same way. We don't begin to have different idea, different understanding about the same thing in the same local church. Is that okay? So that's the reason why a series like this is very important. It's for every member of the church. It's for every member of the church. Number one, as your shepherd, it is important you understand what I have embraced from scriptures about who the pastor should be. And then secondly, so that we can all reason together. Because if as a local church, what we uphold, what we believe is different, it's not going to help us. Number one, we as pastors will be guilty of what? Of division. So what do I want from you as a church? The first thing I want from you is to have an open heart. So write it down. Pastor wants me to have an open heart all through this series. Just have an open heart. That's the first thing I want from you. Number two, whatever is not clear, whatever I say that is not clear to you, you don't understand it, or it's not clear, check it. And when given the opportunity to ask, what do? You ask. So by the grace of God, we'll make our Thursday services such that we can ask questions. Praise God. Is that okay? So whatever I say that is not clear to you, check it. Just put an asterisk on it and ask. Don't resent it. Is that okay? Don't despise it. Don't scorn it. That no, this thing pastor said, I don't totally agree with it. No. It is not a debate. Praise God. Like I said, some of those things, personally, I'm just settling into them. So I don't have the right to put a shade over them. I'm just going to check scriptures and then communicate what scripture says. Number three, what do I expect from you? Number one, I said, have an open heart. Number two, check whatever you hear that isn't clear and feel free to ask. Feel free to ask. Number three, unlearn. Unlearn whatever it is you may have learned that is not true. That is not the truth. Unlearn it. Don't hold on to it. Praise God. Don't grip it. Unlearn it. Because this is a very, very important series that can shape your perception of the ministry of a pastor in the local church. And so that's why I want you to be ready to unlearn. The reason is because truth may not be popular. Don't hold on to a truth because it's popular. Hold on to it because it's the truth. Praise God. Whatever we say and do as spiritual people should be for the truth. So I want to encourage you to hold on to the truth. Unlearn. Make your research. Glory to God. Make your research. This is one of the series that we're going to do it together. Look at your neighbor and say, we do it together. Go and unlearn. Learn. Don't be dogmatic in your approach. I say something and you're like, oh, I've not seen it before. Go study it. Be like the Berean brethren. Check it. And this is one series I challenge you, please, before you come for every service, get it. I'm instructing the media, every message must be available by the end of the service. Pick it up. Unedited. Go and listen to it. Before you come for the next service. Because if you are going to profit from the original design of God for his kingdom, the local church is the place where that profiting is made available. And spearheading this agenda are the gifts of men. Glory to God. So make up your mind to follow. Who is a pastor? Who is a pastor? Now when you hear the word pastor, what comes to your mind? During the Spirit Portal, I took time to give us the design of God for the local church. I made us to understand that there is a work that God started from Eden, and that work progressed, and the goal, the desire of that plan is that Christ, like you saw in that verse we read, that Christ will be supreme in all things. Everybody say supreme in all things. Verse 10. That he might fill the earth with himself. Ephesians 4 verse 10. Did you see that? So that he might fill the entire universe with himself. So I made you to understand that the desire of God is that the whole earth will be filled with Jesus. But along the line, the first man was to be the forerunner, the first model to bring that plan out. And that was Adam. But the real design is Jesus. So all we see in the Old Testament is God progressing the plan to bring Jesus to fill the earth. Glory to God. So now, after Adam sinned and all that happened, we had two set of people on the earth. The lost and the found. The called and the world. From the Old Testament, the Jews and the Gentiles. So please tell your neighbor there are only two classes of people on earth. The two classes of people on earth, you can call them different names. You can call them light and darkness. God's own and the world's own. So the idea, the desire of God is that even though man has sworn allegiance with the world, he will still go ahead with his plan. So the desire is to save a set of people, call them to himself, and use them to bring the others. Do you get that? That's the plan. From Genesis, that's what we keep saying. He called Noah, put them in the ark, told him, bring others. They refused. He destroyed them. Noah remained. The same thing, he called Abraham. Through thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So every tribe that saw allegiance to Abraham, they were joined to God's tribe. The ones that were not, Philistines, Moabites, they were the enemies of God. And constantly, they were being destroyed. Then Jesus came. And then the church was born. So the same model picks a generation, use them to call the others. So the church are the called out ones. They are the ones that God is using to carry out that plan in this present time. Is that okay? That's the summary of all I said. So, now the church is the body of Christ. And everybody is designed to function. So tell your neighbor, bodies function. So when God gave Jesus to the world, the reason why he gave Jesus is to still accomplish the same reason. So we are told here that the same Jesus that came to the earth, now that's the descended there, is the same Jesus that has what? That has ascended. So now, when he ascended, he decided to leave a remnant of himself on the earth. And for those remnants to understand what God is doing, to understand who they are in what God is doing, and how they can cooperate with what God is doing, God decided to now give gifts of men. Because while Jesus was on earth, he was the gift of God. Are you following that? So Jesus played the role of a teacher. He played the role of a pastor. He played the role of a prophet. He played the role of an apostle. He played the role of an evangelist. How many of you remember? So, because he is still in the process of what God is doing, he has achieved this path. So he what? He ascended. And now entrusted the remaining part to who? To men. But if he came in the spirit of the Father, these men will also have to do the work in the what? In the spirit of the Father. So Jesus now told his disciples, as the Father sent me, so sent I you. I think John 20 verse 22. He said, as the Father has sent me, so sent I what? So sent I you. But hear this. He can't send them like that. The graces he received, they too must what? Must have it. So the graces that Jesus had, because in this context, graces means gift. Everybody say gift. So Jesus now released gifts to men. 21. John 20, 21. Jesus, now what? Now released this gift. Fulfilling the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 3 verse 15. I will give you pastors. So the gift that Jesus gave, he gave them to who? To men. So those men had to, number one, help others to come into Christ and also equip them to do the same, to bring others into Christ. So a pastor, number one, is the generic word, the title will give to the men that are carrying out this function. Call them pastors. Now, generic now. Praise God. For example, raise your hand. If you attended a polytechnic, everybody that teaches you in the polytechnic, you call them lecturers. Isn't it? Now, the reason why you call them lecturers is because they present lectures. So you call them lecturers because of their function, because of their role, and because of their responsibility. Is it not true? But technically, if you go close to some of them, they are not lecturers by their job description. For example, if you come into the polytechnic and you came in with BSc, BTech, or from a recognized university, that is only when you will be called a what? A lecturer. But if you come in from a polytechnic, if your certificate was issued to you by a polytechnic, when you come into academics, you are not called a lecturer. You are called an instructor. Are you understanding it? But every student sees everybody that teaches them as a what? As a lecturer. Because they prepare lectures and they deliver lectures. But when we are in a meeting, we know our job description. So that's the first name that comes with, first meaning that comes with that title, pastor. So we use it to refer to as many that are leaders of a congregation. Are you following that? The pastor. Because he leads or presides over a congregation. Prepares sermon, as the case may be, delivers sermon, and does pull the congregation. Plays different roles to the congregation. But technically, by calling, he may not be a pastor. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Just like for those of you that were on campus, they were you called your presidents on campus, you called them pastors, isn't it? Isn't it? You called some of your ESCOs, you called them pastors. But some of them, they are not pastors. But the reason why you called them pastors is because they are leading a congregation of believers. So in that context, their role will be defined by the system that gave them the responsibility. And I think that's one of the challenges we have had. That's one of the major cause of the confusion
we have had. Because on one end, we want to see a pastor as the leader of a congregation. And another hand, we want to see a pastor as who God designed him to be. Glory to God. So that's the first definition of a pastor. Pastor is someone that takes the responsibility of leading a congregation. Number two, who is a pastor? Now, biblically, according to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, a pastor is one called of God. Please take note of that. One called of God. A pastor is one called of God to feed believers with knowledge and understanding. Quickly now, John 21, let's start from verse 16. He said, Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Now, the idea behind a pastoring comes from the word pasture. Please follow me now. Let's just tie it here. Pasture. God understands that the work he's going to be doing through the local church will require gathering people. And what he expects from them is that they are going to be living a life that reflects, number one, his love, and number two, his power. Do you get what I just said? That is to say, the plan of God, the expectation of God, the design of God is that people are going to be brought into his fold. But when they come into his fold, they will be required to live a kind of what? Of life. Do you understand? And biologically, it has been established that the quality of your life, strength, appearance, vitality, relevance, is traceable to the food that you eat. You are what you eat. So say nutritionist. Is it not true? That's what nutritionist told us. You are what you eat. I was with someone, and then he was sharing with me, my wife was there too, how their second daughter, she's a foodie. You see her, you think she's the oldest. He said when it became a problem to them was when I think she was 2 or 1 year plus, and when she was walking, her laps were already rubbing each other. You know what that means? She was getting fatter than her stature. They had to take her to the hospital. And guess what the doctor said? Check what she eats. Cut down on this. Cut down on that. If not, by the time this child is 3, she's already gone. She will be too overweighted. And where we were eating, that baby was eating like an adult. She will pick the spoon, use the spoon. If the spoon is too slow, she will drop it. She will use her hand. She was changing it. The food she must enter. Peon with 2 seconds. The full plate of jollof rice that was the same size with mine, she don't finish them. Yeah. Quickly. And funny enough, the husband was like, they are happy because the firstborn doesn't eat. So they prayed that the next child should eat. he was saying it. I said, it's an answered prayer. He said, but now you don't overdo them. Because seriously, if a child doesn't eat, it's a problem to the mother. No, that's the truth. A growing child. As a matter of fact, one of the things medicals and nutritionists will advise a newborn baby never starve that child of food, because the development of that child's brain starts from when she's small, when he's small. And the ingredient that will bring about that development are all in the food he or she what eats. So someone was telling me on Friday, he said when she needed to register the child in a school, the proprietor now said that, you see, for the age your child is, you have to be putting milk inside her lunch when she's coming to school every day. Want to check if truly she's taking what? Milk. Because for the development of the brain, the child needs what? Milk. Everybody say food. Biologically, you are what you eat. So, and the kind of things you will do, you need to see that girl when she's walking, an adult that is walking. And that's the truth. When you see a child that eats very well and a child that does not eat very well, you will know. I even go far. Adults. Some people cannot carry 3 of that 25-liter keg from downstairs to this place. You want to kill them. Now, do you know the difference? It's what it is. The proportion, not the quantity, the quality. If it be said that first one, you're full any and only stash. So the kind of things she will be able to do, when you bring another person that can do it, you will see the difference. A blend of meals and exercise. Biologically. So, why? Because your life, your going out, your coming in, your energy, your vitality, your intelligence, your skin. Oh, let me come to that. See, stop changing cream. Go read. Your skin is a reflection of what you eat. Not be cream. Cream is just to polish them. I've seen some people, their skin, it's Jehovah that will remedy it. You go and buy cream, 12,000. Have you not seen some people that are using cream of 5-10,000 and your skin is still better past their skin? Hey, praise God. No, skin can, cream can do some fast work on your skin. But stop using the cream back to where you left. But you see, food, there are some of you right now. You think you are not fine. It's not true. It's the food you have been eating that is not fine. If I change your diet for 6 months and you go back to your parents, they will think you just came back from London. No, it's the truth. It's basic. The sum total of how you look is the food you eat. That's why you see some people, they are very wealthy, but their body look like money misread. Don't ask me what money misread means. But go and check. They have money, but they don't know the right food to eat. So they invest the money in cream. So it means that everything about your living, everybody say your living, that's the emphasis. Your living, your breathing, your thinking, your sleeping. Oh, you know, chop where you won't sleep. You feed dream that they give you food for dream. There's some kind of hunger that will beat you. You have to sleep and use your tummy to face ground. You can't even sleep well if you don't eat well. Oh, maybe we should try it next Sunday. I just tell my wife or one of the pastors to prepare good vegetable with enough hold up and go slow inside. I'm talking about the type that attended Harvard. Now bring it. Well-prepared semo or pounded yam. Then I put, you know, we have different level of juice. There is juice and there is juice. You know, there is juice and there is juice. You know, pastor was telling me one day when to visit them that if you really want to prepare good juice, you can go market and buy fruit worth 2,000. And the juice will not be, there's no tumbler. It will not be, will not pass half of this with 2,000. Yes, now. Those ones you they buy, put for fridge, they feel good. Now powder, now she talk am, will not be me talking. Say now powder, they go preserve and be. They come pack sugar full and now sugar you they drink. Advanced Coca-Cola. Not be that type. I'm talking about that one that came from Harvard too. Maybe they complain, say insomnia, they do you. You know, they feel sleep. Don't worry. You will eat it. See, you will sleep, eh? See, when you wake up, you know, there are different kinds of waking up. You know, there are some wake up that when you wake up, if you read Genesis, you can read up to 15 chapters and everything will enter. You don't understand. The whole system will just be agile. Wait, you wait well. Better go and marry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, continue that therapy. See, I know you are very rich. Just try, just once a week. Do it for like 3 months. Go home. They will ask you, bro, Safa. The difference, even you, when you are praying, you will know you are praying. See, I was listening to Miles Monroe some days ago. Miles Monroe said, as pastors, invest in your kitchen and your bedroom. Yes, I have the message I can give you. He said, as a pastor, there are 2 rooms in your house you must not joke with. What are the 2 rooms? Your bedroom and your kitchen. He said, for this work of ministry, God needs your body to do it. So, if you like, go and buy I was foam. He said, it's not kingdomic. He said, if you want to buy foam, go and buy a good foam. So that when you sleep on it, you will know that you are sleeping. He said, see, we don't sleep for long, but we sleep rich. That even if it is 3 hours, you see, some people can sleep for 7 hours. We call it sleep of death. He said, as busy as I am, I don't sleep for more than 4 hours. He said, but my wife knows my food and my bed. That 3 hours, I sleep well. Not be by length, not by quality. And where the quality day, that the comfort and the good meal, you will not be poor. Because these things are expensive, man of God. You see the way you are looking. Eh? But you know, we know how it was now. That time. We have your own too. And even Toby, I'm just washing him. All those to bring picture out. Just know that whatever you sow, you will reap. I have assignment 2013. I still have the pictures. Just don't worry. Glory to God. Your body is a reflection of your meal. God now understands that I am shifting my attention from mere bodies to spirits. I must prepare meal for them too. So now my focus is no longer going to be just the physical. Now they are going to be humans but carrying a spiritual body. And that spiritual body needs food to survive. So I will give them pastors, so that when they come, you see that food that went to Harvard, they will go to that Harvard, cook it, and they will serve it to you. Then when you come, they will feed you. You came very lean. I mean, somebody that all the demons have pursued. Thank God for pastors. Oh. Hi. I have seen some people. I knew how they was until they became saved. of the glory, the honor, and the strength that some of you have. Listen, it's not because you are walking in a good place. I can bring people that are walking in the same place with you, yet understanding and knowledge is zero. But look at you. Spiritually, it is true. You are what you eat. He said, feed my flocks. Listen to this. If you want to kill a sheep, starve him of hay. The right proportion. Listen, church. A pastor is a called one. Called and graced of God to serve you meals that are needed for your nourishment. As little babes, desire the sincere milk of God's word. But who serves the milk? Pastors. A pastor is a gift of God. He washes over your soul. Who is a pastor? Pastor is a shepherd. If you understand the role, glory to God, that a shepherd plays in the life of the sheep, you are coming close to understanding the role that a pastor plays. As I close this morning, a pastor is a gift of God for the believers to be fed, number one, with knowledge. Number two, to be fed with understanding. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. A pastor's role, a pastor's function, a pastor's responsibility is defined in the context of his calling. I'll say that again. A pastor's role, a pastor's responsibility, and a pastor's function is stated in his calling. In other words, you don't get called as a pastor and begin to figure out your role. No. You don't get called as a pastor and begin to figure out your responsibility. No. You don't get called as a pastor and begin to figure out your function. In other words, I do not have the right to choose my role. My role is spelled out in my what? In my calling. Are you getting that now? Are we understanding that? The measure, the degree, and the time he plays the role may be different. The kind of shepherd, a sheep, may be different. And that's why, if you understand the process by which a shepherd tends for the flocks, there are food he doesn't give them a certain level. And there are loads, there are distance they don't cover. For example, you don't see some of the baby cow going about with the big cows. Do you see that? No, they are somewhere. I remember when we wanted to buy cows somewhere, they took us somewhere. Oh boy. Saw some small ones, they are there. Cow gets size now. The same thing with sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So the responsibility of a pastor is defined by his calling. So the moment you get a call to be a pastor, you go check it out in scriptures and begin to what? And begin to play the role. You have no right to choose your role. Because in scriptures, your role has been what? Has already been stated. Stand up on your feet and let us pray. Pick up from here on Thursday. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that these things will stick in our hearts. We'll appreciate them better. We'll receive understanding as we progress in this discussion. We'll find what you want us to do. You teach us what you want us to know. In the name of Jesus. And by the end of this teaching, everyone in this local church, they will understand who the pastor is. As many that will listen to these discussions, they will be blessed. Glory be to your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.